Welcome to It Just Means Less, where we talk all things SEC sports. Here are your hosts, Wells Perigin and Jacob Holman.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the It Just Means Less podcast. I'm your host, Wells Perigin, here, as always, with my co-host, Jacob Holman. Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Yeah, pretty well. You know, is it time to say, you know, it's been a while since we said it. Is it the best time of the year? Postseason baseball is finally upon us?
Yeah, it was. I mean, last week was obviously the best week, but now it's even better because you got 64 teams that are competing to hoist a trophy in, what, a month or so? A little less than a month?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you do the math, you know, regionals, super regionals next weekend, and then it takes about a week and a half to play the thing. So, yeah, I mean, you're really looking about 3.5 weeks, and you're going to have a champion.
Yeah, I mean, dude, this is – we always say it, best time of the year. It's fun. The reason I like this, and I think this is the best time of the year, just comes down to the fact that obviously not every team has a chance, but like you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
If one of these little small schools, like a, you know, looking at it like Little Rock's hot because they found their way to the OVC. Obviously, I don't think they beat LSU, but could they beat the loser of Dallas Baptist, Rhode Island, and find their way to beat them? Do these small little schools have that one arm that can make them in getting to the winner's bracket from the jump? You know, you just never know. So everybody's competitive.
Yeah, I mean, we have a perfect example of that last year with Evansville. You know, they went over there to that region of death over there in East Carolina, you know, with Savage throwing for East Carolina. And I'm pretty sure Wake was there too, kind of thing. And, you know, they came around and won it. They turned around and won the regional. And I think what's really good about this, and you know, it plays, it's softball too because they're set up the exact same, is this allows you to slip up one game. It really does. You know, with basketball, you know, March Madness, you got one bad game, you're done. Football, yep. One bad game, you're done. This one, now it definitely puts you behind the eight ball, but it doesn't end your season depending on when you have the bad game, obviously. Like, you know, if you have your worst game in the championship game, like, you know, that's that kind of thing. But, like, it allows you to slip up just a little bit of wiggle room so you don't automatically sit in your season once with a one loss.
Yeah, I like that. I like that you give yourself a chance to, you know, fight back if you do fall in game one. Which, you know, uphill battle, especially if your bullpen's not as loaded like Alabama's, you know, not as loaded. And so it'll be fun to see. But I've got a few sleepers that I'm looking at, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But talk about, you know, the 13 teams getting in, and a really good, coming off a really good tournament in Hoover, I thought.
Yeah, you know, really good, as in, you know, Auburn, Alabama, you know, Auburn went one and done, and that's a tradition unlike any other in Hoover when we make it. Really, you could say Bama went 1.5 and done. I mean, if we want to, I mean, Missouri was a little bit of dogfight to start with, kind of thing. So, I mean, well, technically speaking, Bama did go 2 and done, which, you know, hey, winning one in Hoover is always good, kind of thing. But it was, you know, a tradition like unlike any other, seeing Auburn, Alabama get home, sitting a little early. But then you had, like, I mean, how about this, man? I mean, they played dogfight all the way up to the end. You know, I had Vanderbilt winning, that kind of thing, and you know, they looked like the best team all the way out, kind of thing.
Yeah, RJ Austin's really good, and so is I was fairly impressed though with A&M and how they found a way to get it done. Laviolette, you know, playing the game the day of his surgery, and they only lose by one to a really good LSU team. And then, but obviously Vanderbilt did what they do and found their way, win it again. I think Corbs is now 50 wins, 50 SEC wins, and 50 conference tournament wins. So most all time. So, I mean, they just know what they're doing up there in Vanderbilt and know how to come win the tournament. But what do you think about A&M? Do they stay with Early?
I think you got to. I think you really need, you got to kind of thing. I mean, this year started off, I mean, in a rough shape. Before the season even started, not even talking about all the way back to the slosh stuff and all that. When Gavin Berhovac, I don't even think he made it to the first week of non-con play before he got hurt kind of thing. And, you know, that's a first-round draft pick right there, a leader on your team. You know, and you just get behind the eight ball, don't play as well in non-con kind of thing. But it's hard. I don't know, man. I feel like it's just hard to punish a guy in his first year and with the way the turnout, you know, and, you know, there was, I mean, we're talking about a coach that has series wins versus Tennessee, LSU, and Arkansas. Like, but, you know, but he also had, got swept by Missouri, yeah, kind of thing. So, I mean, I think you got to stay with him. I mean, if Missouri's staying with their guy, you got to stay up early.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I don't disagree. I think you stay with him. Don't give up on him so early, because obviously he's a players guy. Like all the players love him. I just don't see why you. I don't see why you would move on from him. But obviously they were a big sleeper in Hoover, you know, to make it to where they did.
And, you know, I believe it was the seventh inning or eighth inning. If they don't get called for a questionable, I was listening to it, the announcers, I was driving, so I definitely wasn't watching going down the highway or anything like that. But, you know, you have a Chris Stanfield diving out for ball, misses it in center field, you get a triple, and then you have a swing, I don't know if it was safety squeeze or a swing and bunt kind of thing, and your runner, your batter gets called for runner interference after the ball gets thrown in right field. So he would have been on third and have been the winning run at third with no outs kind of thing in the seventh or eighth. And then all that gets taken away, and then you go, so you're out from the interference, swinging a safety squeeze where the runner doesn't run. I mean, what's the point of even safety squeezing at that point? I mean, you got to try it. And then K. I mean, yeah. So like A&M, and you know, if they get to Ole Miss, who knows what happens kind of thing.
You know, I was – for my pick, I was glad to see LSU win. But, you know, knowing that they got as far as they did, I really, really wish A&M would have made their way to Sunday, because I would have loved to see them play. You know, 14 SEC teams would have been a lot. You would have left out a team like, you know, Western Kentucky may have been on the other side of the bubble. A team like that, or maybe Arizona State. You know, somebody like that may have had their opportunity cut short. Because you kind of got to respect that SEC name of Texas A&M.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, 13 SEC teams made the field. I mean, and that lucky number 13 is still rings true, even with the 16 teams. Is, you know, Kentucky got to 13. I think they're 13-17, and they weren't. I mean, they weren't even in the last four in. I don't think. I think they were in the. They were off the bubble, according to the committee. Now, all your experts, you know, D1 had them out. D1 had them as the first team out in their last projection.
Don't know ball.
I guess not. You know, I think that was the only team that had them and UConn switched of the 63 out of the 64. I mean, that's not as good as me and Jacob, obviously, if you go back and look at our records throughout the year, yeah, kind of thing. But, I mean, the SEC, I mean, I think I saw, and this was the commissioner or the whoever the head of the committee is, and he's the athletic director at CLAW kind of thing. I think he said, with your power conferences, with the SEC, with the Big 12 and the ACC, after you add them all up and your automatic qualifiers, there was only room for six others on the bubble. So between all your other conferences, so you don't got your pack yet, but you will next year. You know, your Big East, your Southland, Conference USA, Sun Belt, all of them. It was somewhere between six and eight was all the bubble spots that were left.
That's insane. It shows you how loaded these conferences are, especially with us. I mean, the SEC getting 13. And I'm looking here at the ACC. They had 1, 2, 3. I think they had like 10.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, you got Louisville, Miami, then you got Wake, you got NC State, you have
North Carolina,
then you have Clemson, Georgia Tech, Duke,
Florida State. They had nine.
I'm trying to make sure none of the other, I don't think any of the Cal teams or SMU, none of the non-ACC teams that were used to. Yeah, I don't think they didn't make it in. So, yeah, nine.
So 13 and 9 from The SEC and ACC.
And yeah, and then the Big 12 had a good number too. I know D1 was
crazy.
Yeah, no host, but the D1 was like, I think they compensated the no host getting all their bubble teams in. Like, yeah. If you look at Oklahoma State's record, it's only like 28 and 23 kind of thing, but they had a decent RPI and they finished strong down the stretch in the Big 12, and they were able to get in. Now, I would have much rather seen Troy Trojans in.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not on the committee.
Yeah, they had 8 at the Big 12.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, we had 29 from the Power 3 conferences, really, I guess you could say. Because, I mean, we're not going to count the Big 10 in baseball. They're like the 7th or 8th conference, in my opinion. I mean, I definitely would take, you know, maybe the Sun Belt. Conference USA can get iffy with, you know, Dallas Baptist, Western Kentucky, Jack State kind of thing. I mean, you got your top-end teams in the Big 12.
Man.
I know.
Do you see how that game ended?
They got walked off, but I didn't see how they got walked off.
I was watching, and the center fielder dove like a second too early, and the ball bounced in front of him over his head. They scored on walk-off single. Runner was at second.
So was it 2 outs?
No, it was no outs.
So, I mean, he would have had no play if he would have let it on the hop.
Yeah.
Do you have a play at the plate?
I don't know. I don't know because I don't know how. You know, I don't know how far if the guy, or it may have been no outs or 2 outs, one of the two. I don't know if the guy was already like committed to going home, or if he would have had that step back or whatnot. But it was just, that was a great game going into the, I think it was 11th or 12th, because I was watching it.
It was the 11th, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that one was fun. But before we hop into the Enfoy pick, do you have a team or two that you think could come out of a regional that's not a host?
Oh yeah, I'll spoil the first, like a 3 or 4 kind of thing. Is that what you're saying? You know, I was looking, and this is a question. I listen to all D1 stuff. If you can't tell, this is a region they weren't picking them, but they went and said they wouldn't have been surprised if Columbia came out of the Hattiesburg region, kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to pick them either, but I think Stetson could give everybody a run in the Auburn region kind of thing. Nebraska, I mean, Nebraska just swept to the Big 10 tournament. Who knows what they look like coming out there? I mean, UNC is a different animal right now, but I mean, Nebraska's playing well too. I like Murray State too, honestly. I mean, that region is loaded, but Murray State, you know, they played Ole Miss very close, and that was midweek. Later in the year too. I think it was like a 6-4 game, like second or last year of the season. Like, it was very close. I mean they've already played there twice. They, you know, they're familiar with the ballpark kind of thing.
I like Cal Poly.
Yeah, they played well down the stretch.
With how they finished down the stretch. I think obviously they're 3 seed there, but I think East Tennessee State, man, those boys can swing it. I mean, they went and beat Tennessee at Tennessee in midweek, and so they gave them their first loss of the year. So they can do it. Now, will they step up? I don't know. And I'm just poor Coastal, man. You get that gauntlet of Florida right now. I think they can get through it, but I don't know if they'll be able to. I think Florida's going to have, I think you could have potential Auburn, Florida, Super, and Plainsman.
I'd be all for it, man. Let me just tell you right now. All right, you want to, we ready to go ahead and jump in there kind of thing? What you thinking? We want to go 1-16 or you go 1-2-3?
Yeah, let's do the one, how they're matched up.
All right, I'll take the first two. Kinda so the way we're going to
– how they release the show.
So the way we think we're going to do this, and this might, we might not like it, but we're going to start with it, is we're going to take one team that we think is the winner, and we're going to take the what we think is the runner-up out of the region, too. So we'll be picking two with, I say you say winner, then your runner-up out of the four teams. So the one seed in the whole tournament is Vandy, so the Nashville region. With, you got Vandy, who is the SEC automatic qualifier. You got Louisville out of the ACC, ETSU from the SoCon automatic qualifier, and Wright State from the Horizon, the automatic qualifier. 7 years straight, they've won the Horizon. Jacob, who is your winner and runner-up coming out of the Nashville region?
I'm going to have Vanderbilt to win it. I'll just go chalk and have Louisville as the I'll go Louisville as the runner-up.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to take Vanderbilt kind of thing, and I'm going to take, give me ETSU. Let me represent the SoCon. You know, being a SoCon law student at the moment, kind of thing. I feel like I got to rep the boys, and they've been swinging it well, and they've been, you know, leaders of the SoCon for a while. I'm not, you know, I'm referencing D1. I might as well just play their podcast while I'm talking, kind of thing. But you know, they had Louisville as a 3 seed kind of thing, so they thought Louisville as a 2 was a little bit of a, you know, a gift to Vanderbilt kind of thing. So I think I'm going to take ETSU to be the runner up in this region.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. I would have probably gone ETSU as well, but I just Vandy and Louisville played already this year, I think. So yeah, I think Louisville won it. I think it was at Vandy. I mean, it's at Louisville.
It was, and Louisville was it was a 4-5 win for Louisville. Floor, end of the year too. It was in early May.
So yeah, I don't hate it. I think that'd be a fun little regional, especially with some, especially a team like Wright State who, been to it 7 years in a row. So see what happens.
Yep. All right, now on to the 16 seed, the Hattiesburg region, which is where the Tide is going to be playing ball right now. You got the one seed Southern Miss, Sun Belt. Alabama is obviously the SEC, Miami at the ACC, and then you got Columbia, which is the Ivy League automatic qualifier. I take the Tide to come out this region kind of thing. Alabama played Southern Miss. Did they go to Southern Miss? I know Southern Miss came here or to Tuscaloosa. Kind of, yeah, they've all played once. Ty took it. Miami, I don't know what to think of them. They swept Georgia Tech, but then they also, they struggled down the stretch a little bit, losing a series of Notre Dame and I think Virginia, I think as well, kind of thing. So I'm going to take the Ty to win. And, I said I liked them. Give me Columbia to be the runner-up out of the Hattiesburg region.
Yeah, so Alabama has some nightmares of Columbia from a couple years ago. Lost a series to them in Tuscaloosa, so not very fun. But I'm gonna have to take. I mean, I'm gonna have to take my boys. I'm gonna have to go with the Tide to win it. I don't hate the draw at all. I mean, Southern Miss is a great team. Don't really feel like. I know we had this conversation yesterday, but I feel like if you were to pick between Alabama and Southern Miss, I feel like Alabama should be hosting over. Because you got head to head RPI, quality Q1 wins, things like that. But
And I got a theory behind that. It's because, and they probably shouldn't do this, but I kind of think they got to. They do a little bit. Is outside of your two Sun Belts they're hosting, no Sun Belts made the field. So I think it was like, we're going to reward the Sun Belt a little bit, and then we're going to take Troy and all them off the bubble. That's kind of my theory behind that.
yeah, and that's very, very possible. I would, would have loved to have had it here in Tuscaloosa, but it is what it is. But I'm gonna go chalk again. I'm gonna go Southern Miss as the runner up. So, all right, going to the next or the next matchups, the 2 and 15, the 2 seed is Texas in the Austin Regional. You got Texas, who's from the SEC, UTSA from the American, Kansas State from the Big 12, and then Houston Christian as the automatic qualifier from the Southland. Who you got?
Definitely going to take Texas to win their own region, kind of thing. Even though they weren't exactly Superman down the stretch, they still are, heck of a ball club kind of thing. So I'm definitely going to take Texas to win the region. Now, Houston Christian and Texas have already played, and Texas won 12-2 in 7 innings in early April. And I'm looking for, I know that I'm pretty sure they play the UTSA.
Yeah, do
Well,
you get
I don't see UTSA on this on the schedule. Oh, right here. And then UTSA beat Texas
at
7-8 at Texas in 12 innings in early March, kind of thing. But I don't think that's going to play in effect. I think it's going to be Texas. I'm going to go chalk this one, Texas and UTSA.
Yeah, so I'm gonna take Texas to win it, but I'm gonna go with the old Big 12 rivalry and go Kansas State as the runner up. See how it fares. I think it'd be fun. Kansas State typically plays well in a regional. I think they went to the Super last year against North Carolina, right?
No, I don't know if that's because I'm pretty sure West Virginia and
LSU.
North Carolina do what?
Who did LSU? Did LSU?
I'm trying to think who LSU played last year
They,
in the
were they in
Super.
LSU? Were they in North Carolina's regional?
They might have been in North Carolina's regional. I think they did force a tough like a championship, but I'm pretty sure the Super was West Virginia and North Carolina.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, either way, I'm gonna go Texas and then Kansas State as a runner up, and then they're matched up with the UCLA regional, which is in Los Angeles as a 15 seed. You got number one, the 1 seed UCLA out of the Big Ten, 2 seed UC Irvine from the Big West, 3 seed Arizona State from the Big 12, and the 4 seed is Fresno State as the Mountain West automatic qualifier. I'm gonna go with UC Irvine to come out of there, and gonna have UCLA as a runner up. I think the Anteaters get it done. We'd be shocked if this one goes to a seven, game seven.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm going to take UC Irvine and then to win it, UCLA to make be the runner up kind of thing. UC Irvine out of the Big West didn't automatic qualify, but they were still found a way to be one of the, what I say, 6 or 8 teams that were on the bubble that weren't from the power power, I guess, the main three conferences. So that tells you how good of a team they are. So I think I am going to take them to go to and win that regional right there and get it done. All right, now we're going on to the Fayetteville, the region, which is the number three seed. We get Arkansas, obviously. The SEC team is the one seed. Kansas is the two seed. Creighton is the three seed. And North Dakota State out of the Summit is the automatic qualifier. And I guess I need to say Creighton was the automatic qualifier out the Big East kind of thing. Jacob, who are you going with?
I'm going to go Arkansas to win it and Kansas State and Kansas to be the runner-up. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about Creighton or North Dakota State. I know Alabama played North Dakota State earlier in the year, swept them, but I'm just going to go chalk here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to take chalk too as well kind of thing. You know, Creighton was the only team
from the Big East.
From the Big East, I'm thinking, because UConn didn't make it, neither did Xavier. So Creighton was the only team from the Big East, and I'm pretty sure they were bubble out before they won the tournament. So, you know, they got played well in the tournament, but I don't think they're too deep of a team, RPI-wise and all that thing. So I think the chalk is the right move right here in Arkansas and then Kansas. All right, they're matched up with the Knoxville region, the 14 seed, Tennessee out of the SEC. Wake Forest is the 2 seed out of the ACC. Cincinnati is a 3 seed out of the Big 12. And Miami, Ohio is the automatic qualifier out of the MAC. And right here, this is going to be another chalk for me, although I do think the Cincy matchup could be interesting with Tennessee, because Tennessee sucks at throwing base runners out and holding guys on and all that. And Cincy is the leader in the Big 12 in stolen bases, and I'm pretty sure they're top five in the country kind of thing right there. So, you know, I think that Tennessee is going to win the regional because they play well at home, they swing well at home. And I say all that even though they lost, you know, four of their five series at home, but I'm going to take Tennessee to get it done. And I'm going to take Cincy. I said I'm going to take Chalk, but I think I'm going to take Cincy to be the runner-up now that I think about it.
Yeah. I'm going to go the same way. Tennessee at home, swing it well. And I think they're, you know, fired up a little bit after Hoover. You know, they always play well there. And then Cincinnati, don't know why, but I like Cincinnati to come out of there as the runner up. So next you got the worst regional of them all, the matchup with 13. Auburn regional is the four seed. Now we've got Auburn as the one seed in the SEC. You've got North Carolina State as the two seed in the ACC. You've got Stetson as the three seed from the A-Sun as automatic qualifier, which, you know, little controversy there. And then you got Central Connecticut State as the four seed as the Northeast Conference automatic qualifier. Who you got?
Take Auburn. I'm going to take Auburn to win my region. I think, you know, at Plains and Park has been pretty well for Auburn this year. I haven't lost a series there, so probably going to lose this one now that I say that kind of thing. And I'm going to take Stetson to be the runner-up. You know, they've lost twice to Florida. One of them was 8-1, one of them was 14-4. But they do have a win over the mighty Missouri Tigers. They beat Missouri 9-7 earlier in the year, and I think in a little neutral site in Puerto Rico kind of thing. So give me Stetson as the runner-up in the Auburn region.
Yeah, I'm going to go chalk here. I'm going to go Auburn and North Carolina State. Auburn to win at North Carolina State as the runner-up. Just think North Carolina State, you know, a little hot down the stretch. See how the Wolfpack plays. But I'm going to go, I think, ultimately Auburn comes out of there. And then they're matched up with the Coastal Carolina region. They're the 13th seed in Conway. The one seed, Coastal Carolina, is the Sun Belt automatic qualifier. The two seed is Florida from the SEC. Three seeds, Eastern Carolina, as the automatic qualifier from the American. And then four is Fairfield, it's automatic qualifier out of the MAC. So I'm going to go with Florida to win it and Coastal as the runner-up. I like Florida. I think they're playing hot right now. And then Coastal Carolina, obviously, I don't think they're going to bow out in their own regional, but I'm going to take Florida to ultimately win the regional and have an all-SEC super.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to take Florida to win the region. You know, they've played well down the stretch kind of thing, and they've just been hot kind of thing. Even though they did go one and done in Hoover, unfortunately, because I picked them to go a little farther, but they did go one and done. But, you know, in Coastal, they were discussion about whether they could even get that eighth seed in the tournament because of how well they're playing kind of thing, how good their RPI is. I'm pretty sure they got a lot of wins, too, kind of thing. They don't lose often kind of thing, and especially at home. But I am going to take Florida to go, you know, I'm a SEC homer. I little bit. So give me Florida to win the region and Coastal to come in second. All right, going on to the Chapel Hill region, the five overall seed North Carolina is the ACC automatic qualifier. We got the 2 seed Oklahoma out of the SEC, 3 seed Nebraska, the Big Ten automatic qualifier, and Holy Cross out the Patriot lead is the automatic qualifier right here. Jacob, who goes to Chapel Hill and wins the region?
I think the home team. I'm going to go North Carolina to win it, but I'm going to take Oklahoma to be the runner up. I like the Sooners. I like the Weatherspoon brothers. They went to Hoover and won 2 games. So their first time in the tournament. So I'm going to go with North Carolina to win it, but Oklahoma to be the runner up.
Yep. Yeah. And our podcast listeners, the tens of you are listening to this kind of thing, want us to go a little different, little spice it up kind of thing, but I'm going to go with you as well here. I'm going to take North Carolina to win the region. I mean, I thought they were going to be a top 3 seed. They're playing really well, swept through the ACC tournament. I think they beat the crap out of Clemson in the championship kind of thing. And like you said, I'm going to take Oklahoma. You know, Nebraska's played well. They won. They swept through their tournament. That's the only reason they're here kind of thing, but I'm going to rock with the SEC as well here. So UNC, Oklahoma. All right, going out west to Eugene, the 12 overall seed Oregon. Out of the Big Ten, the 2 seed Arizona, so a little old Pac-12 rivalry right here. They're the Big 12 automatic qualifier. Cal Poly, who's the Big West automatic qualifier, and Utah Valley, who's at the WAC automatic qualifier. And right here, give me Arizona to win the region, and give me Cal Poly to come in second. Arizona, Cal Poly. You know, I watched a little bit of Arizona. They were able to win beat TCU in the Big 12 championship kind of thing. So I like them. Give me Arizona and Cal Poly.
Yeah, I'm going to go – I'll go Arizona to win the regional, but I'm going to take Oregon to be the runner-up kind of thing. I like Oregon and Arizona in that final, that Big 12 rivalry, maybe reunited a little bit, especially after dark, because, you know, we'll get to watch the old Pac-12 after dark. So moving on to the next one is the Baton Rouge Regional as the 6 seed overall LSU. You got the 1 seed LSU from the SEC, 2 seed Dallas Baptist from the CUSA, the 3 seed Rhode Island from the ATN, they're the automatic qualifier, and then Little Rock from the Ohio Valley Conference, and they're the automatic qualifier. I'm going to go with LSU to win it, but I think Dallas Baptist is going to be the runner-up, but I wouldn't be shocked if these two are flipped by the time we get to Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm rocking with you. LSU, Dallas Baptist. You know, Dallas Baptist does have the mayor and dad of Gordo, Grant Jay, kind of thing, you know. And they've played early in the midweek. LSU won, but Grant Jay hit a bomb kind of thing right here. So give me LSU to take their home region. It's hard to win at the box.
Yeah, for sure. And then they're matched up with the Clemson Regional, the number 11 overall seed Clemson. There's the 1 seed from the ACC. Then you got the 2 seed West Virginia from the Big 12, 3 seed Kentucky from the SEC, and the 4 seed South Carolina Upstate as the Big South automatic qualifier. Who you got?
Give me Clemson to win the region. You know, they did get trounced in the championship game by North Carolina, but they're a good ball club kind of thing. Barely lost, or, you know, they took tough series when they went to Florida State kind of thing. So, good ball club. I'm going to take them. I'm going to take West Virginia. I originally took Kentucky, but I'm going to take West Virginia. That, you know, they were in the host competition to start the year, but they just slacked off. So give me Clemson and West Virginia.
Yeah, I like that too. I'm going to go Clemson to win it at home and then West Virginia. I saw you had Kentucky down, and I was just, you know, just all the talk about West Virginia. Early in the year, they're really hot, playing really well, but have kind of cooled off a little bit. But Clemson and I don't know the name of their stadium, but it's going to be – it's always hard to win there, especially in a regional format. So I like Clemson to come at home.
All right, going on to the 7th overall seed, Georgia in the Athens region. Georgia's the 1 seed at the SEC. Duke out the ACC. Oklahoma State at the Big 12. And then Binghamton, your American East automatic qualifier right here. Jacob, who are you taking to win the Athens region?
I'm going to go – I'm going to go Duke. I like Duke to win it and Georgia to be the runner-up.
Yeah, like, I don't hate it.
Duke has had Georgia's number recently.
Yeah, I don't hate it. It's just so hard to pick against Georgia and Foley Field. The way they hit there is just unmatched kind of thing. And so, you know, we've took the chalk on – or we've been the same on all the other host winners. So let me take Georgia and Duke to be the runner-up in this one. All right, moving on to what I think is the toughest region, Oxford, the 11 seed, Ole Miss, who out the SEC with a 2 seed Georgia Tech out the ACC, Western Kentucky out of the Conference USA automatic qualifier, and Murray State out the Missouri Valley automatic qualifier. And right here, I'm going to take Georgia Tech to walk into a hot Ole Miss team and get the series win, or the regional win at Swayze. I don't know if you watched I know you watched the show. Georgia Tech was pissed when they got announced kind of thing, and that's not a team that I'd want to play right now. So give me Georgia Tech, even though Ole Miss has been hot, so I'm going to take Georgia Tech and Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm going to flip it. I like Ole Miss to win it at home. I think Georgia Tech be the runner-up. Like you said, man, they were pissed. Georgia Tech was pissed. And so you hear that one guy awkwardly clapping that, you know, he had to kind of get told to stop. But I think either one of these would be a great team to come out of there. I mean, I wouldn't mind any four of these coming out. But I think a Georgia Tech regional or super regional in Athens would be a lot of fun. So feed families, some would say. All right, and to round it up, we've got the Corvallis Regional as the 8th seed, Oregon State, which they're not in the conference right now. And then you got the 2 seed TCU from the Big 12, 3 seed USC from the Big 10, and the 4 seed St. Mary's as the West Coast Conference automatic qualifier. Who you got?
I don't know, man. I've been going back and forth on this one kind of thing. I've been looking at how many like hosts I have winning, and it's kind of a lot. So let's just go something different right here and give me TCU to win the region with Oregon State coming in second kind of thing. You know, this is the first time USC has been the postseason, even though they're a blue blood, or it's hard to say a blue blood now, but they're one of the most, I think the most World Series of all anybody. But this is the first time they've been in the postseason 10 years, kind of thing. So I ain't got no confidence there. You know, St. Mary's looked okay versus San Diego, but not great. So give me TCU for the heck of it to beat Oregon State and win the region.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to go Frogs and Oregon State as the runner up. I like TCU to come out of Corvallis and going out west and getting it done. And the final regional is the Tallahassee Regional, the 9 seed, 9 overall seed, Florida State from the ACC. The 2 seed is Northeastern from the Colonial Athletic Association, the automatic qualifier from there. 3 seed is Mississippi State from the SEC. And then the 4 seed is the Bethune-Cookman from the SWAC as the automatic qualifier. I don't know. I think I'm going to go Mississippi State to win it. I like State to come out of there, and I like Florida State to be the runner-up.
I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to take Florida State. And it's hard to say chalk when, you know, Northeastern is the 2-seed, but not having Mississippi State kind of thing. I'm going to take Florida State to win the region. They played pretty well at home this year. And, you know, Northeastern has the longest winning streak in the country right now. They are playing in the CAA, which is a little different than, you know, the SEC or the ACC kind of thing. But let's put a little respect on that winning streak, and I'm going to go Florida State, Northeastern.
Yeah, Bethune-Cookman, Northeastern winners bracket game. Come on. Ooh. Now. So, but yeah, I think that's all for the picks. Do have one question. Out of all, if you were to pick a winner before the whole thing starts to hold the trophy up in Omaha, who are you going with?
Right now it's Vanderbilt. You know, Tennessee is the 1 seed last year and they won the whole thing. So that kind of takes away the 1 seed winning the whole thing kind of thing. I think Vandy, and then LSU, because when you get to the Supers and then the championship series kind of thing, I don't know if there's a better 1-2 in the country than LSU has on their Friday and Saturday night guys kind of thing. So give me Vandy and if LSU a close second.
Yeah, I was going to say Vandy. I like Vandy to do it, but also, I hate to say the same thing as you, but I like LSU as well. I think, like you said, 1-2 punch lineup can hit some veteran guys, and so. But I like Vanderbilt to stand out.
If I was taking a non-SEC team, it'd be North Carolina. Just putting that out there. So they're my three, I guess. If I'm picking three teams,
yeah, North Carolina's hot down the stretch, so that would be. That'd be fun. I wouldn't.
The Tide.
No, the Tide will not be making it to Omaha. But so, well, I think that's all that we got for episode 12 of season 7 of It Just Means Less. We appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week.